Father, we come to you just as we are. We can come no other way. We thank you, Father, that we are all different. We have varying personalities. We thank you for the gifts which you give to us, for our gifts and talents which enable us to bring glory back to you, to give glory to you. Bless us, Father, as we continue to worship you. Draw close to us, and may we draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know what your name means? Let's have a show of hands. Who knows what their name means? Do any of the children know what their names mean? Quick asking of Mum, no? That's fine. What's Steve mean then? Crown? Wow. In Hebrew, right. I'll remember that one. That's good. Hillary, what's Hillary mean? Happy. Oh, that's good. Anybody else want to volunteer what their name means? No? Actually, I've got it in my book that Margaret means pearl. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. In Hebrew, oh, well, that's different then, isn't it? But, yeah. I know that Margaret means pearl anyway, and my second name's Kathleen, and so I know that means pure, so that's Kate means pure as well. Isn't that nice? Because Kate and Kathleen are sort of similar to Catherine, and I think they both come from there. I wonder if the meaning of your name reflects your personality. Obviously it does with Rachel, yeah. Hillary, are you happy? Yeah, that's good. So who gave you your name? Or did it just happen? What about the children? Who gave you your name? Your parents gave you your name, yeah, that's right. Sometimes they listen to suggestions from perhaps grandparents or friends or something like that as well. But no. But I remember when our daughter-in-law was having her first baby, she came to visit us. And my mum at that time had just had a stroke, and she was very ill. In fact, she didn't live many more days. But Michelle, my daughter-in-law, said, what would you like us to call the baby? And I thought, oh no, because she might have said Percy, because that was my dad's name. And then I thought they'd have had to have kept that. Nothing wrong with Percy. I'm sorry if you've got Percys in your family. But these days, you don't come across them very often, do you? But my mum very graciously said, as she could only just say it, she says, whatever you like. So that was good. So he ended up being Owen. Some of you know Owen. Do you like your name? Who likes their name? Oh, right. Who doesn't particularly like their name? Oh, right. Quite a few. So, what would you like your name to be, Scylla? Oh. Oh, okay. Wonderful. Oh, okay. Yeah, funny old things, names, aren't they? Have you ever pretended to be someone else and used a different name? Oh, dear. I think I'm the only one here. I have. Now, oh, you did as well. I'll hear about yours in a minute. I'll just tell you what happened to me. Well, when I was 18... I lived in Leicester, because I was nursing in Leicester, and I went on a girls' night out to Leicester Pally. That's the dance hall, for those of you who don't know what Pally is. And my friends persuaded me to pretend to be French for the evening. And I did. I decided my name was going to be Yvette. Yvette Montre. I don't know where I got that from. And everybody I danced with for the next 2 hours, which was a lot, I pretended I was French. I spoke with a sort of English with a French accent. But it got very, very complicated. A lot of the time when they were trying to talk, I was just saying, je ne comprends pas, you know, just to get out of answering the question. And one of them asked me where I lived. And I said I lived in Marseille, first town that came to mind. And he said, oh, where's that? Is that north of Paris, south of... And I thought, I don't know. And I managed to wriggle out that. But I'll tell you, being somebody else was really, really hard work. Really hard work. I mean, you know yourself, but pretending to be somebody else. It was a bit of a laugh in a way, but there you go. Now, as well as our actual names, we have got titles. You didn't know you got titles, but you have. Put your hand up if you are... or you have ever been a sister. Yep. Have you ever been a brother? Cousin? Ooh, lots of cousins. An uncle? An auntie? A wife? A husband? A grandma? Or Nana, or whatever you call them. Right. Yeah, I know, Pat. I want it. And a granddad? Oh, I think that's just Merv and Paul, is it? Wow. And even though you may not have owned one of those titles I've mentioned, there's one that you'll all be able to put your hand up to, because when you were born, you became either a son. Anybody was a son? Yeah. Or a daughter. So that's something that everybody has been when as soon as you were born. And I suppose the older you get, the more titles you get, really. Anyway, whoever we are and however old we are, each of us is very important to God.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 32. Starting to read at verse 22 through to verse 28. Genesis 32, 22 to 38. And I think that will be on the screen. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and have overcome." Israel means he struggled with God.
As you will know, we've been looking at a series on worship, thinking about what happens when we come together to worship God, and also what happens when we leave and live lives of worship. And as we all know, we gather together in the name of Jesus to worship and often experience many of those things we've sung about. But we also gather as ourselves. And one of the things we're going to look at today is whether we really come as ourselves before God. How do we arrive? How do we sit before the one who created us? Do we accept who we are? Do we like who we are? Do we worship as ourselves? We're going to watch a DVD in a moment which talks about this whole area of names. As will be mentioned in the DVD, names in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, were very important. And that's why we've had the reading about Jacob's name. When I was about 16, I went to a secondary school called Bluecoat School in Warsaw, in the West Midlands. And I didn't like school. In fact, I hated it. Not because I hated going to school and having the lessons, but because I used to panic. I used to hate leaving the house. And I used to hate sitting in classrooms with lots of other people. Had to know where the door was, had to know the door was open. I used to panic all the time. And I distinctly remember on my way to school I had to walk through a marketplace and through a shopping centre. And every morning I used to walk through these places absolutely petrified of school. And I remember looking at different people and thinking, I wish I was them. I wish I was the shopkeeper who could decide whether to come into work or not. I was only 16, so I didn't realise they had to. I wish I was the market store holder who stood in the fresh air and wasn't afraid that doors were locked and they couldn't get out. I wish I was the cleaner who could move about freely. I wish I was anyone but myself, because I hate the life that I've got and I can't get out of it. And this went on for a number of years. And gradually over time things got better. But it wasn't until I stopped wishing to be someone else and started accepting the situation I was in that I could actually change and be something different, act in a different way, deal with what was happening in my life. Now that's just school, you might say. But as was said on the DVD, don't we often do the same, depending at what stage our life is in? I bet all of us have wished at some point or other we were someone else, looked at someone's life and thought, they've got a good life. I wish my family was like that. I wish my life was like that. I wish my history wasn't what it was. I wish I hadn't messed up in the way I'd messed up. And the story of Jacob is a really encouraging story, because Jacob stole from his brother so he could be blessed by his father and ultimately blessed by God. And then he spent a long time living under that lie as someone that he was not. And the time that he meets with this angel or this man and struggles with them all night is just before he's to meet his brother again for the first time, years after he stole from him. And so he spends this night battling, people say battling with God, trying to work out who he is, trying to prepare himself to meet the brother who has been trying to search him down. And eventually he admits that he's not Esau. He's not the older brother. He's not received a proper blessing, but he's Jacob who stole. And when he admits that, he then receives the blessing that God wanted to give him, as he's renamed Israel. And he then goes and meets his brother Esau, and their relationship is healed. But it was only when he admitted, after a long battle, after a long struggle, after being injured in this battle all night, only when he admitted who he was and claimed his own history, that God could really bless his life from that point on. And as we gather to worship God, we all come with different histories, different things that are happening in our life or that have happened. Some of us have long histories with many things that maybe we wished we'd not done, or that have happened to us. Some of us have relatively short histories, but still can be quite painful. And as we gather before God to worship, he doesn't ask for our histories to be perfect He doesn't ask for our lives to be free from problems. But he asks for us to be honest, to come to him and say, I'm Kate. This is my history. This is my past. This is where I am now, and this is what I want for my future. And I believe in doing that, that God will bless us much more than if we come pretending our lives are all wonderful and perfect, or just putting on a veneer so that other people think our lives are wonderful and perfect. Because we all know life's not like that. If it were, we'd be lying. Because life is full of ups and downs and messes. So as we come today, how do we come before God? And what do we bring? Do we come and sit as ourselves? Or do we come and sit as that person who has that particular role? That person who has that particular job? That well-respected person in society? Or do we come with our failures held high, feeling we're nobody? God wants us to come as ourselves and to sit before him, whether it be a struggle, whether it be a struggle for years, so that he can bless us and we can worship him freely.